What's going on, everybody? This be your boy DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast, episode 88. And I got a special guest on the show today. I got my man Willie D. McGee. He's the athletic director for St. Vincent St. Mary High School in Akron, Ohio. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm blessed. I cannot complain, man. It's a rainy day here in Akron, but I'm off work. I don't got nothing going on this evening.
Right.
Wait for this game. See if Kawhi can finish the deal tonight.
Yeah, man. I'm a Golden State Warriors fan. You know, like, I just love, like, I was telling my homeboys, when I was younger, when L.A. went through that dynasty, went 3 in a row, like, I can kind of remember it. But, like, I would love to see it as, like, you know, I'm 27 years old. But, I mean, I wouldn't be mad seeing, like, the Toronto Raptors win, you know, seeing, like, not only just a city, but a country or Canada just, you know, bring something home. Their first champion, NBA championship. So, I wouldn't be mad at all.
Same, man. I'm a Chicago native. Was born in Chicago, raised in Akron, Ohio. So when I was growing up, to see the Bulls dynasty win 3 in a row, take a break and win 3 in a row, you definitely understand the value of it and respect, especially when you're looking at the history. It's not a lot that's done it.
Right.
But, you know, I think Toronto got something special this year. I think Kawhi added a piece to them, and obviously Brian not being in the East, worked in their favor this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they got something special out, and obviously with injuries with the Warriors and what they're going through is taking a toll. But, you know, it's part of the game. You still got to play the game.
Right.
And Toronto just played the game the right way, man. I think Kawhi has the native ability to get the business. He ain't about playing. He's going to do what he got to do. I think that's contagious.
Yeah.
After they won the last game, they won hooting and hollering. You know, it was a business trip. They went back to locker room and was taking care of business. They expected to win. I think that go a long way, man. Being a former athlete, response to success or winning at times, you know, especially when you got the ultimate goal of winning the championship, you just got to keep stuff in perspective. I think Toronto is that team right now, man. I think everything is perspective, and they know they got one more. It's going to be the hardest one to win.
Yeah, and that's true. And then, like, you know, it's two different sports. But I also look at Toronto, like, you know, I look at them as, like, the Florida Marlins. Like, I remember in 03, a lot of everybody was doubting the Florida Marlins that we was going to lose to the Yankees. And, man, like, that was a magical year. Like, that year when we beat, like, got to think about the Yankees is, like, the franchise of the franchise in baseball. So to see us the little team of Florida, like the Florida Marlins, just come and beat them like that, you know, it's a beautiful thing, especially in sports.
Well, absolutely, man. When it's your time, it's your time.
Right.
And think about team sports, man. Individuals can win games. And, you know, I just think it takes a team to play championship.
Right.
I think your ability to play together, accept your role and do what's best for your team and put egos aside, go a long way, man. And I think, you know, obviously being a former teammate of LeBron and the success we were in, him being the best player on the floor at all times. But we played some other high school teams with a lot of talent, a couple NBA players, but they were more individually driven than us. We had a chemistry that we kind of fell into our roles, accepted our roles, and then if the team got theirs, we'll get ours. And, you know, it's been working a day. There's life lessons that you never forget.
Yeah, yes. There's something you never forget at all. But before we get into, like, everything, like the questions and everything and your career, like, introduce yourself to the people a little bit, the people that don't, you know you that much.
Absolutely. So I'm Willie McGee. I was born in Chicago. Was able to witness a great Chicago dynasty, so that was my motivation to play sports along with my brother. He was a student athlete at the University of Akron, so I always wanted to be like my big brother. So basketball was my passion at a young age. At a young age, I come from a family. My mom and dad had addictions, so my sister raised me until my brother graduated from the University of Akron. To help the family, I moved up with my brother in Akron. two or three years later, he moved my mother and my younger brother up and really gave us opportunity. He's kind of the cornerstone of the family, gave us the opportunity to get out of that life and gave us opportunity to be great. With that, you know, growing up, when I moved to Ohio, I had a learning disability because I missed so much school in Chicago with stuff going on. Mm-hmm. I humbled myself. I had to go through special ed from fourth to fifth grade, tested out in sixth. Right. In Chicago, I can remember people telling me, whispering as I walked out of class, teachers, he had never graduated from high school. At this time, man, I was blessed to go to a Catholic high school, St. Vincent, St. Mary, get a high school degree. I got my undergraduate degree, information system, received a scholarship to play football at Fairmont State University, went on to get my master's from the University of Akron, where I was a graduate assistant with the men's basketball team. My former high school coach there. Along the way, man, I meet a guy that had a common goal as mine, LeBron mm-hmm. James. We played rec ball at 8 to 10. Ended up playing AAU for like 12 till we went to high school. Man, once we got to high school, magic started happening, man. He became the man that y'all know today, that y'all see on TV. Great person. We had friends that you know was able to lock down, and we had common goals, man. Our passion was to play basketball. We was willing to make sacrifices for that, putting the time in the gym, going on trips, which were amazing, but it pulled you away from your family and friends. But it helped us grow up fast. It helped us learn all the traveling that we did. We had great people around us, from my friend Drew and his father who coached us, Shion mm-hmm. Cotton, his father coached us. LeBron's mom was a part of our foundation to help us grow. My brother, Ilya McGee, who graduated from Akron and is currently a vice president at Orienta House, man, just so inspiring, man. I've been blessed to be around great people all my life. I'm currently now the athletic director of St. Vincent St. Mary High School, and I also run a nonprofit organization called the Dale Program that work with inner city youth and giving back and programming. And I named the nonprofit after my mother who passed away. Mm-hmm. Her name was Dale McGee. It's an acronym for Discipline, Athletics, Leadership, and Education. If anyone's interested, they can follow my IG, the Dale Program, and just trying to do for the kids in this area what people did to me. If your family obviously is less fortunate, there's other resources out here that still can help and give you a chance to expose you to things that you may not be exposed to. I've been blessed to be the first African-American athletic director at a Catholic school here at St. Vincent St. Mary, man, and I understand mm-hmm. like I did back in the day when I was blessed to have an opportunity to go to St. V, you know, doing the right things and carrying yourself the right way, give people behind you an opportunity to do those same things. So, I may be the first African-American athletic director here at St. Vincent St. Mary, by me doing the right things and doing it the right way, hopefully another young man, a young woman, African-American, have this opportunity, or minority have an opportunity to have this position, because I think it's a great job, mm-hmm. Very fulfilling. And
that is
blessed, man. I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, that was a lot, man. You you covered a lot. You the first guest that went rapid fire, but ain't nothing wrong with that, man. But for what you said, like, it's true. Like, especially like growing up as an African American, like, and as you get older, like, I always like tell the kids, you know, whether you're African American or a minority, like, never stay in a box. Never think that you can't do better than you can now. Just always reach for your goals and surround yourself with great people, and then, you know, you just see a difference in everything. You know,
so. And that's so true, man. And I respect that so much. And that's the message I'm trying to get the kids that I work with. But the reality of it is, if you don't see it, you don't think it's possible. You know what I'm saying? So for young kids or some people, you know, they only know what they see on TV.
Right.
But if you don't, and they don't, if they're not showing many African American principals or teachers or athletic directors. So the opportunity to be in front of kids and show them that it is possible, now that opens up your mind, like, when he can do it, I can do it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's trying to be visible and you know, present in the moment and in the community is important to me. And I definitely support that statement. And, you know, don't, you know, dream big. You know what I mean?
Right.
Anything's possible if you're willing to put the work in. And then And, you know, obviously everyone's has a different path on getting there. I tell kids often, you know, your life is like a book. Early on, you don't get to determine how that book is written. You know what I mean? But after a while, you get stake in your life. You can determine how it finishes. So, you know, I believe in doing things the right way. Don't block your blessings. Fast money isn't good money all the time. The grind pays off. You know what I mean? And putting the work in. I think, and I know everyone has different circumstances, things mm-hmm. they're going through and what they need at that moment. But I am a believer. If you're doing things the right way, good things will happen to you. Opportunities will open up.
Right, right. And it will. So let's talk about the beginners real quick. So you was born in Chicago. And what age did you move to Akron, Ohio?
I was born in Chicago at 8. I moved to Ohio. My brother, I think it was 92. My brother just finished college. Mm-hmm. And he, you know, my mom and dad were going through things. They were distant, trying to get out of it, in the middle of it. And my sister was taking care of me and my younger brother. And she had 3 kids of her own. Right. She was in her 20s. So my brother, you know, trying to help her, trying to help the family, allowed me to come up. My brother and sister-in-law, at the time they weren't married, but it was his girlfriend. Allowed me to come up and live with them to kind of take a load off my sister. Mm-hmm. Eventually, my mom, you know, wanting more for herself and my younger brother, you know, she moved up and was able to beat the addiction, ended up having her first job. And, you know, when I moved up here, I just seen young professionals, African Americans graduating from college, former student athletes, and I had role models. I started to dream and believe that I could go to college. That's what I wanted.
Right.
Unbeknownst to me, when I moved, and I had, you know, I was missing 60, 70 days of school. When I came up here, I could barely read and write. You know, get tested. My brother came to me and said, I need to go to special ed to get caught up in my books, you know, and I knew I was behind. I was that kid in class that struggled to read, and when I did, it was embarrassing. So I read even worse because I was embarrassed. And so it was things that I had to overcome to get to where I am now. But, you know, my brother just told me I had to put the work in. Mm-hmm. Just like, in my, you know, everything to me at a young age related back to basketball. You know, he spoke to me like, man, if you want to be dudes, you got to work. And, you know, basketball and athletics came after to me. I've seen the progression. So I've seen the work. If you put it in, you can get better. So he translated that over to education. You know, I put my head down to really humble myself and went to accepted the help that I needed. You know, like a lot of kids, man, you know, the help's there, but are you willing to accept? So at a young age, I was willing to accept that help, 2 or 3 years of special ed and putting in a lot of work and learning study skills and stuff. It gave me opportunity once I got to 7th-8th grade to test out, and all I needed was tutoring. Mm-hmm. So that was a proud moment for me, another building block in my life to understand that, you know, if you put the work in, good things can happen. And that's what I try to tell kids now. And, you know, that really put me in a position to start playing sports and things like that. And that's where I met LeBron, probably when I was 9 years old, playing rec ball, going to the YMCA shed with my brother, and Frankie Walker, who LeBron was playing with. I used to bring LeBron and Frankie and Brandon up, and we was the kids shooting on the court, getting in the way for real. Then he asked me to play on that rec team, and, you know, my love for basketball grew at that time, man. And stuff just started really opening up for me once I came to Ohio.
And the reason why I asked that was because, like, I wanted to know, like, how was, like, the transition? Because I know when people move, you know, they come from a city to another city, or a state from another state, or a country to another country. Like, how was at that time that transition, like, coming from Chicago to Akron, Ohio? Like, what was in your state of mind at the time?
It was hard. I'll be honest. It was hard to leave my sister, who I love, and my niece and nephew, and my younger brother, who at age 8, I was babysitting and cooking for, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I felt like they needed me there. She needed my help. It was hard to leave my mom and dad, you know, even though I didn't see them much, but when I did, I knew they was there,
mm-hmm.
no matter what state they were in. But I also knew it was fun in Ohio. You know, I came up the summer before I actually lived here, and it was my first time going to a mall or going to a movies. So it kind of exposed me to stuff that I started having fun with. Right. So I was looking forward to moving here, but it was also hard leaving. Once I got here, my brother and my sister-in-law did their best to make me comfortable. And it was just really nonstop, man. It was always something to do. They were very active. So I really got caught up into what they were doing. And they were young. They were just graduating college, 22, 23. So I was around a lot of young adults and, them having kids. So I had a good time when I moved here, but it was difficult leaving.
Right, because like, I remember even going to school, like, I remember my first couple of years, well, not my first couple of years, probably, like, maybe a few years, like, I was in public school because my dad wanted me to be in public school at the time. But after the third grade, my mom was like, nah, I want him to go to private school. You know, I want him to finish out, from grade school to, like, when he graduated from high school, I want him to really, go to private school. So my first year in private school, It was kind of hard, because I'm so used to, of a bigger crowd, I'm so used to, just seeing way more different people. And, we had to go to church all the time and stuff. Like, I grew up in a church, but it was like we literally had mass, every either Wednesday or Friday. So, in my mind, I was like, wow, like this is going to be kind of like of a challenge. But then after a while, I have two best friends that I met at that school, and to this day, we still cool. Even the friends that I went to the school at the time, we all doing good. They doctors and lawyers and things of that nature. And sometimes people understand change is a must, because you never know, that change could really bless you a lot. In anything, any aspect of life.
Earlier, before I went to private or Catholic school, mm-hmm. It was school from Chicago that was 90% black in my school. It was 95, mm-hmm. And I moved here. And it's, the first school I went to might have been 60-40 black. You know what I mean? So I'm getting used to being in class with white kids and things like that. And then, I get identified as just needing help in school, so I had to take the test. I ended up not doing well or identifying that I needed more help than others, so I had to go to an all-white school and get enrolled into a special ed program, and it was kind of like a culture shock to me, I won't lie. Mm-hmm. Being the majority, then turning into the minority, and second-guessing what people think about you, and how you talk and how they talk and things like that. So, I moved up in third grade. Before the fifth grade, I'm in at a predominantly white school and having to adjust. I credit my family, helping me understand at a young age, trying not to see color and taking people for face value, right, on how they talk to you and how they treat others and trying to put color behind you. And then that going into, going to 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, where I'm probably at a school where it's, 60-40 again, black, white, or white, black. So it's more, diverse than where I came from, and getting into my comfort zone and becoming the person I am, and, not dictating who I'm with or how I act, and then being blessed to have an opportunity to go to pretty much an all-white school, Catholic school, to get a great education, prepare me for college, and being able to play a sport that I love. But it's funny how life plays out. Stuff that I learned in 4th and 5th grade when I went to the all-white school really helped me in my mm-hmm. transition to high school, where I had friends that they was just learning and getting integrated with a white, majority all-white school.
Right.
I was more comfortable, and I went through that transition already. And it's, as we continue to talk and I, become an athletic director, the things that I went through really helped propel me in that aspect as well. So it's funny, man. God gives you what you need, not what you want all the time, man. And if you can open your heart and eyes and be able to see that or accept it, man, it's amazing how things work out.
Right, right, exactly. And before we get into your athletic director career, like real quick, like how was, like, you know, playing with, you know, LeBron and Drew and all the guys that, you know, like playing for a private school? And I remember LeBron said something on one of his shows. He was saying that, you know, it was kind of like how you said, it was kind of weird for him at first to go to a private school where you so used to being around, you know, a lot of black folks, but you see a lot of, like, you know, white people and things like that. Was it like any, like, kind of like challenges, like being like the black athletes, you know, at the school at the time? Like, did people treat y'all differently or the wrong way?
So the first part, playing with LeBron, man, I have to be honest, man, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. The exposure that we got playing with him and, you know, being able to identify, you know, you come in as a freshman, you think you're just as good, you want to compete. And we all play varsity as freshmen, but I played JV and varsity, so I wasn't there yet. I'm growing. And I went through a shoulder injury my freshman year playing football that really kind of set me back.
Right.
Preseason. So I played all 4 years basketball, but I feel like, you know, I went through some obstacles that they didn't go through. But it was amazing playing with them. We became family over those 4 years. You go in with three other guys and the fourth come in our sophomore year, and y'all just have common goals. Y'all want to be great. Y'all willing to make the sacrifices and discipline in the classroom and in the community and hold yourself the right way, and great things happen, and we won our championships. Then on the other note, you know, with all their success, you know, you had people in school in the community that loved you and looked up to you to a certain extent. Then on the other end, you had people that was envious. You know what I mean?
Sure.
We got special treatment here, you know, in the state, in the school, in the community. Tough stuff was given to us, and they didn't understand that we had a great village around us that challenged us to be great and not accept shortcuts and stuff like that. And it was a lot of growth in those 4 years. Boys became men in high school. You know, we had a great high school coach, Coach Dan Brock. He said the only thing that he wouldn't hold us accountable for was getting to practice because we couldn't drive. But other than that, the ability to focus and the commitment and the hard work, you know, that he demanded that out of us. But we had a great coach in Coach Drew that helped prepare us to get to that point in high school. You know, he was our AAU coach that went to high school with us, that was an assistant. So it was great to have him help develop us and best the parents around us. So it was an amazing time. And I have to be honest, I was naive to the fact how great LeBron was in the total aspect. You know, he was great to us, but was he great on the national scale? We traveled a lot, and he was always one of the best that played. But in the back of my head, I always wondered if it was someone better. You know what I mean? But then when we start playing these national teams, and you got Nike All-Americans and bunch of camp, and you see, you know, LeBron was just a matchup problem. He was too big for guards that had his same skill set.
Right.
You know what I mean? But then when you put somebody on his size,
he was too fast.
They didn't have the skill level. You know, they was kind of uncoordinated. They was big. So you kind of started to see he was kind of like a specimen. It wasn't nobody like him. To be honest, man, it was probably 5 or 6 years ago when I think ESPN had a special on him. And it had kind of like a timeline of, and he kind of hopped back and forth to, you know, where he was in his career and his growth, how he was pictured in the nation,
right,
what was going on locally. And when he was in McDonald's camp, they had footage that we never seen. And he got dubbed the number one player in the country as a sophomore. And to watch that footage and to play with him, you can see he got dubbed the number one player in the country, and he wasn't even comfortable out there. He was making routine plays, but he ain't had that gorilla look on his face like he was comfortable going at people. He was just playing basketball the right way and still dominating.
Right.
You know, if he had that look on his face, he had another level he could take it to. And that kind of amazed me 5 or 6 years ago when I seen that. Like, man, he wasn't even playing the best he could play, and he was still better than so many other people. Then it jumped to a timeline. So, you know, when we was in college, he was playing in the pros and growing. You know, the first 2 or 3 years when he played
in the NBA, you know, he was doing routine stuff. He didn't even do stuff I had never seen before. People was in amazement of it. It was probably year four or five when he did stuff like, man, he takes it to the next level. Now I've never seen it. And, you know, and to still be able to interact with him and see with him, you know, during the summertime, the work he was putting in, mm-hmm. he didn't get comfortable. And, you know, we have quite a few NBA players that comes from Akron. You know, a lot of people may not know. We got two top 50 players that's in there, Nate Thurman and stuff like that. And you had Jerome Lang, who went to St. Z, and stuff like that. And, you know, as youngsters, we always say, man, if we get an opportunity to be great, we gonna cherish that. We won't do nothing to mess it up. And to see him with the same discipline as when he was in the pros, like we talked about, and, you know, being a college athlete and, you know, people cut corners and how they treat people and stuff like that.
Right.
He was a motivational factor for me, man. I ain't gonna lie. You know, once we got out of high school and how he carried himself and talked and, you know, stuff like that, man, it was inspiring to me, man. I'd be lying to say that it wasn't.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you like how was it like just seeing him, you know, coming from Akron, you know, going straight into the NBA and just seeing him, how his growth from his rookie year, you know, even to now, like, you know, to me, like, I respect LeBron James so much is because the fact that not just on the court but off the court, he's a businessman, he's an activist, I'm sorry. But he does just so much. And when he was down here in Miami for 4 years, it was different. Like a lot of us, you know, me and my homeboys and stuff, we would say like it was just so different down here because it wasn't just because of the superstar, it was just because that, you know, he do so much for the city. You get what I'm saying? Like he did a lot of stuff for the city, and he may not realize it, or people may not realize it. That's not from here. Just like I'm not from Akron, because I know he did he's doing a lot. It impacted the city a lot. But down here in Miami, you know, especially in Florida, we known for like two sports really is football and baseball pretty much. Once he came and left, like, it's so many, like, kids that want to play basketball. Now they having, you know, ESPN and Slam Magazine coming down south for basketball, which is kind of weird for us. But that's how much impact that he could bring to a city. Even now, you know, in L.A., like, he's doing his work. But at the end of the day, he always, you know, he never gets home, you know, Akron, Ohio and stuff like that. And that's why I really respect the man, you know. And even y'all, like, even, like, yourself and everyone, you know, that was on the high school team and stuff. And, like, just the inner circle, like, all y'all doing everything that's great, you know, and that's motivation, you know, so.
Oh, absolutely, man. I definitely understand when you say that, man. At a, you know, at a young age when we was in high school, first of all, his ability draws people in, and you know they marvel at it, they respect him and that. But him as a person and the things that he values and speaks on, how he carries himself. You know, a lot of people get pulled in different directions, let people make decisions for him. I think he's a person that surrounded himself with great people that he trusts. But he's not a yes man. He's always been a person that has a vision and was able to execute it and put the time in, and you know, so I've always admired that about him. But with that, you know, him understanding his influence and you know, you have it, but what you doing with it? You know what I mean? What are you doing to give back? That's what I admire the most. You know what I mean? It's always been bigger than him. You know, he's always been a team guy, and that just oozes over into the community and just doing the right things and impacting other people and the youth and stuff like that. You know, so it was hard for me to see when he left to go to Miami. Mm-hmm. He had every right to make that decision, but people want to tear him down for going on to me and doing it. But in reality, he went on TV to do it to give back to Boys and Girls Club. I just thought it was so unfair and unjust.
Right.
For him, so it was hard to see a family member go through that bullshit. And then you know where his heart is, but him still being a bigger person. So you know, it's a lot of respect to him and his family and his support system to not fall into what people think about you, to do what's in your heart, what a lot of people can't do or don't choose to do. Or don't have the courage to do, man, and to speak on issues that he speak on, where his heart is at. It's just refreshing to see somebody, you know, do the right thing and care for others, man.
Right.
He's a role model. You know, what people say you should do, he doing it. And, right. You know, and that's inspiring me. I was blessed to win a BME award that was under Barack Obama initiative, my brother's keeper. You know, and when I won that award, I won a grant, and you know, and that inspires me. You know, every little bit counts. I want to do my part to give back to the community.
Right.
You know, at the young days, growing up in Chicago, I just told people, I guess that was on MSNBC yesterday, and they did an interview about LeBron that I did a month ago, and I guess they just showed it. I had 15 people, you know, reach out to me like, man, I haven't seen that. I'm like, man, I'm out with my niece for her birthday. You know what I mean? Me and my girl, for my niece, and I still haven't seen it. And you know, some of my brother friends, you know, I'm on a group text with them, and they like, man, I'm proud of you, just this and this. And I told them, man, you don't know how much, you know, they motivated me. LeBron motivated me. You know, at a young age, man, how would I ever get a car, let alone a house? I just became a first-time homeowner. You know what I mean? At a young age, like we spoke before, man, if it's not in front of you, you don't know how to achieve it. But when you put people around you, you have people showing you the way, like LeBron is on TV. So for so many people, how my brother and his friends did to me, man, you know, the sky's the limit, because you can visually see how it's done and how you can get there, man. And at a young age, you know, I didn't know how that was possible. But every day I got people in front of me doing the right things, doing it the right way. And, you know, I'd be a damn fool if I ain't followed the blueprint. Right. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah, and that's like I said, like this is very motivating. Like, you know, even like coming from you, like me and my friends, we talk about all the time. Like, we can all make it, you know. And as you get older, like we talking about, because I've worked with kids as well. Like I've worked for like the city and the county for like after school programs, and I was like, and my wife, she's a teacher, so I was like, you know, one day I want to create like a camp. Like a after school program and a couple camps that, you know, not only teaches kids about, like, you know, the books and, you know, athletics, but also other things, like, in the world, like knowing, you know, the history of everything, like, especially, you know African Americans, because, you know, yes, we have internet now, we have social media, but I feel like, you know, most of us don't want to, most of us don't want to pick up a book or just do some research on our heritage. And I always felt like, you know, something like that, we should be able to push, you know, especially for the next generation, you know, so it's motivating.
I agree with that, man. You don't know where you at or where you can go until you realize where we came from, man. I think about it. You know, I think in this day and age, in my personal opinion, I think there's a lot of kids having kids.
Right.
That tradition, that heritage, that sense of proudness is getting lost, man. People, you can value opportunities that you have or things that you achieve even more if you understand where African Americans or minorities have come from. You know, whether it be in the slave trade, the Holocaust, you know what I mean? There's so much history in America and in this world, man, and it helps put stuff in perspective. You know, once again, it takes you back to the ability to travel and see, you know, it's nothing different here than it is in Chicago
right.
or New Orleans, but it is so different, and you get to learn and understand those things, and then you see things that, you know, and when we were blessed, our avenue was through sports and traveling, basketball,
right.
But the ability, you know, you don't have to take that route. You can do the research, or if you have family members that install that in you and help you educate you in that aspect. But, you know, everybody has a different path, go through different struggles. And it's just resources out here that, you know, that I think kids and families can take advantage of if they know about or if they're willing to accept the help.
Right, right, and we have to continue to, you know, we all have to continue to push that, you know, just
absolutely
push that information.
You know, I think it's our responsibility, man. And, you know, people invest in you. We watched a movie in religion class and a high school pay it forward. That always resonated with me, man. And it resonated with my group of guys, man.
Right.
You know, what we have been given, or, you know, the opportunity, the time people have invested in us, that opportunity to give it back someday or in our families, man, it's only right. We cheat ourselves if we don't. And LeBron came to a game last year, and we had the same librarian, Miss Wood, and, you know, she was speaking to, you know, how good a job I was doing and this, and this, and how she felt about me. LeBron, you know, made the comment, absolutely he's doing a great job, because he's not just doing it for him. He's doing it for us, you know what I'm
right.
saying? He's a representation of us, you know what I mean? And we're a representation of each other, you know what I mean? If he do something to sour the bunch, you know, that's a reflection on all of us. And that's how he views it, that's how I view it, and everybody else is. And when you get that aspect that it's bigger, it's not about you, it's bigger than you, you're representing others, you know, you hold yourself more accountable. So when that moment comes where you can go left or right, make a right decision, bad decision, you're going to make the right one, because it's not about you, it's about so many others, you know what I'm saying? And you don't want to do nothing to tarnish it. But if you do, you understand that people are human, and you support your brothers and help them get through those difficult times, and you keep pushing, man. We come from a culture that understands struggle and don't let it hinder you. You push through it, and you, it ain't about what you did, it's about what you can do to make up for it and move forward. Everybody makes mistakes, you
right.
know what I mean? And understanding that. So that accountability, man, is something that goes a long way.
Right, and to also talk about your career, how's like the life, like what's the daily like duties as a letter director, and also like besides being a letter director, I guess it's two questions within a question. Open up different programs for the community, because, you know, like a person like myself and everyone that's around me, you know, we want to, you know, create, you know, programs, because remember growing up, you know, we're not too far from age. So growing up, we had so many programs. Like me growing up, I should go to different basketball camps or different after school programs, or like just it was so many like activities. Now they kind of dying out a little bit. So like, you know, talk about like the letter director side, like the duties, but also like the duties of like, you know, creating and opening up, you know, programs for the community.
Worse too, I think as far as athletic director, mm-hmm. it's very demanding, man, very time consuming. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't. A lot of responsibility. You know, you have safety of all your student athletes.
Right.
You have the responsibility of making sure you have adequate coach in place. That accepts his responsibility and leadership role, and that's a good example. And that's not to mention the knowledge of the game, the ability to teach the game, to motivate kids. So the ability to hire and fire, to make schedules, to make the schedule officials, transportation. You know, then you got to balance your books, making sure, you know, you're not going over budget. So it's a lot of moving pieces. You know, let alone you have to have a personal life. You have somebody in your life that understands the demands of your job and accepts and you know, supports that, you know, goes a long way. Right now, I'm in a position that I'm not married to kids, so my time isn't pulled in two directions, so I can commit to, you know, my job and things like that.
Right.
But also, to say, you know, I'm in a position that I have a great support cast. I have a great assistant athletic director, Carly Whitney. I have a great deal of volunteers in our community that help us run events and making sure that we have what we need. You know, from outside looking in, when, you know, people come to games, people don't think there are so many moving pieces, whether it be announcer, scoreboard, ticket takers, you know, the ability to put on the event, make sure officials there. So it's a lot of moving pieces. I'll be the first one to tell you, I can't do it alone. I have a great support cast, let alone having a great president in Tom Garone. That's a school that is dedicated and is a great example to me, working with people and understanding the culture of the community. So it's a lot of things in year four, man. I'm learning something new every day. but with that, I enjoy it. You know, being a former player, I have a passion for coaching. I coached college basketball for 2 years. And when I went there, I wanted to coach, man. But my coach told me, you know, the head coach, I was at Tawan University. Shout out to Tawan University, Tawan Hawks. You know, Coach Brett Vince gave me opportunity to coach collegiately, man. I'm very thankful for that. And when I went, man, I thought I knew a lot. I had a great coach, Keith Danbrot, that's currently at Duquesne University, that's doing great things. I learned a lot underneath him. Then I had Coach Drew, who was a great coach, that's currently a legend here in Ohio, that's won 8 state championships at St. Vincent, St. Mary's, man. I had great examples, so I felt like I had a lot to give. But Coach Vincent told me, man, I'm doing the coaching. You're going to be more over the operations, the ordering of gear, ordering food, hotels, stuff like that. And at the time, I didn't value that. That's not what I wanted to do. But once again, like we spoke, man, God gives you what you need, not what you want.
Right.
After 2 years there, or 3 years there, I ended up coming back, having an opportunity to be athletic director. And when I got here, man, it was a lot of what I did in collegiate. You know, I didn't have an opportunity to coach, but I value the importance of taking care of the little things that people don't see. The scheduling, the ordering of food, the jerseys, the transportation, making sure that everything's in line so coach can do what they need to do to be successful. So those 2-3 years at Tawan that I'm so grateful for really prepared me for this opportunity, because I've never been an athletic director before, and having people believe in me. And, you know, that kind of helped prepare me for that. It's very demanding. I haven't even talked about the parents, man. You know, the parents is an aspect that at my school, which is great, you know, is obviously a tuition that goes along with going to our school in St. Vincent, St. Mary. But a lot of parents think you're paying for a spot on the team. No, you're paying for a good education. You got to earn your spot on this team. You know what I mean? I think that's the culture that I want to keep at the school. I think the AD that left before me left me in a great place, Andy Jarwin. And I'm trying not to mess that up and continue to build on it. Now, when it comes to programs, I think our school does a great job with summer camps and giving opportunities to the community for kids and things like that. And but my programming, I work on my nonprofit program. I'm the executive director of the jail program. That I spoke to earlier, that I was blessed to receive a grant from BME for. And with that, you know, I'm trying to do programming in the community, gaps and holes that I see in the community, I'm trying to fill. I'm trying to reach young men and women. And my passion is for underprivileged kids, because I was that kid.
Right.
I was also challenged to give programming for all kids. Everyone, you know, some families have the means to go to different things, but those things aren't offered. You know, maybe I'm offering something that isn't provided for kids that have, some family households that have the income that it takes. Those camps or operations not there. So I'm trying to serve the whole. That's trying to give back and help everyone. And, you know, my camps are for everyone, underachievement and two family households.
Right.
You know, but I try to help, the inner city kid that may not be able to afford those camps. I'm giving scholarships to these events or programs, or even making them free for everyone to take part in. So with that, having great examples in front of me, Coach Drew, Coach Danbrot, working at the Urban League. Once I got out of college, my undergrad degree is honestly in information systems. I thought I was going to be working on computers. But then you get out of college, and what my mom used to say, trying to burn the candle on both ends, you're going out late and get up and trying to work and sit at a desk. And, you know, that just wasn't for me. I learned as I grew that I enjoy working with people. I have the ability to communicate with a variety of people due to my life experiences, man. So that's why I thrive in being business-minded. And I have to be honest, man. My problems at a young age still hinder me to today.
Right.
My problems reading and writing, you know, just right now, man, my writing skills isn't where it needs to be on the level that I'm at. So to have a great assistant that can support me in that role and understanding your strengths and weaknesses, man. You know, I put everything in it. I still might misspell a word, you know what I'm saying? And for a professional, that comes off very They don't understand that all the time. But being someone that struggles, I understand where I am and where I came from, you know, but also understanding there's no excuses and you know, having people double check and things like that. And to me, it's working smarter, not harder. And understanding your strengths and weaknesses go a long way. But I'll be the first one to tell you, I'm not perfect. You know, I got friends that rag on me every day because of, you know, group texts. I might misspell something and something like that. And, you know, holding you accountable, you know what I'm saying? But it just makes you work that much harder and make sure that, you know, you're crossing your T's and dotting your I's. This year has been a roller coaster for me as athletic director, man. I had a wrestling program that sent 7 teams downstate. I had a girls program that went downstate. First time in probably 12 years I have a boys basketball team that went downstate. And this year, first year in Division I, made it to the state championship game where we had won 2 times, defended champs in Division II.
This was it.
In Ohio High School Athletic State Board, you know, they had me stand up in the third state appearance in the administration meeting that you have before you go down and said, man, this is the first time they've had a school come down 3 weekends in a row for 3 different sports. So whereas I had a great athletic year, you know, we had issues at the school that fell under the athletic department that was, you know, absolutely my fault. So things fell through the cracks that, you know, that parents and administrators wasn't happy for. I let my, you know, unbeknownst, I let my softball and baseball team travel to a tournament in Tennessee because, like I said, man, the weather in Northeast Ohio, our spring sports get cheated because winter ain't really over when spring sports start, so they get games canceled. So it was important to let the team go down to Tennessee. It was the third time in 4 years since I've been AD, but I wasn't thorough enough. I let them go, and they missed 2 days of school. And state rule is if you miss school, you can't compete in the state tournament to compete for a state championship.
Right.
We recognized it. We self-reported on ourselves, tried to appeal. But, you know, a lot of people call it the Brown James rule. You know, when we were playing, which made it even worse, I was part of that team.
Yeah.
We traveled. You know, we kept our grades up. We were responsible for anything we missed. You know, it's part of being a student athlete. You travel, miss class, miss school, there's no excuse. You still got to get it done. But now the rule is you can't go to a state that doesn't touch Ohio and miss school to compete or practice. So I knew the rule, but I wasn't thorough in checking. You know, that it wasn't during spring break this year where it was the other 2 years. So with that, you know, the hardest thing I've done as administrator or athletic director was talk to my girls softball team and our boys baseball team and let them know that I made an administration error, man. You know, and that didn't go over well in our community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people had different views on that. And, you know, my job was in question, to be honest. But I had a president and an executive board that believed that it was an honest mistake. It was nothing that I did purposely, and they gave me an opportunity to correct my wrongs and kept me on staff. And, you know, I'm grateful for that. But to speak to that, speaks to, man, nothing's perfect, man. I have my issues every day, and I'm just better. And I'm thankful for the second opportunity that I've been given and, you know, make sure I don't make the same mistake twice or another mistake, man. And with that, that's just, you know, being accountable. I accept that, you know, it was my responsibility, and I missed that, and all I can do is apologize and make sure it doesn't happen again. And, you know, I'm still sorry for the seniors that didn't get that opportunity to compete for that state championship. Because, you know, being an athlete, man, that's what you compete for. That's what you work for. And, you know, I hate that it happened, but I have to be honest, man, it was a human error. And, you know, it's always a human factor. And I'm trying to, you know, obviously put it behind me and move forward. Look forward to this summer, get geared up for next year. And that's trying to do better, man.
Yeah, and you answer all my questions because, like, you know, down here, you know, it don't snow, but we have a lot of hurricanes. So I was wanted to ask, like, how does an AD, like, reschedule a game or delay a game in either sport? But you answered all my questions, and, like, you know, we all make mistakes, you know, but at the end of the day, what I learned growing up is that you always going to make mistakes, just try not to make the same mistakes, and, you know, we you know, that's part of growing up though. That's part of just like life, you know, whether it's, you know, being a profession, school, you know, entrepreneur, anything, like we all gonna make mistakes and stuff like that. We all not perfect, so.
Oh man, I'll be the first one to tell you, man. I'm the best I can be, man. I just always heard my brother say, man, my motto is be better today than you were yesterday. Continue to work and understand the stuff that you can work on to get better at. And you know, that's kind of how I live my life. You know, and like you said, man, things happen. You obviously try your best every day. And that's the type of person I am. But you also got to understand when they do happen, you accept them and you move forward and you accept the consequences that go with them, man. I can't be an administrator in the position that I am today and ask these kids or talk to these kids and preach to these kids right and wrong and consequences and be in that same position and don't accept mine, man. So I just try to be a living example. You know, good, bad, and indifferent, man. There's nothing perfect about me, but I try to be the best person I am. But I'm proud to say nobody can ever say that I screwed them or did them wrong or anything like that. And that's, you know, a sense of pride for me. You know, my word is my word. If I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to be damned to do it. If I can't, I'm going to let you know. Or if I got to reschedule, man, I think those things go a long way in the person that you are or how you view from other people. And it's just a sense of pride for me, man. I'm a family person, and I enjoy being around family and things like that. And I watch the show The Shot, and it's funny. I watched The Shot.
Yeah, I love that show. I love it.
And it's a scene that the pizza guy said, man, he lost his job and went and bought a car, mm-hmm. and held him accountable to continue to get what he wanted. Don't let it down you. And then something else happened, and he went and bought a house, and he had to work even harder to maintain and keep that. And that's why I feel like I'm in my life right now, man. I have things and people around me that I'm willing to make the sacrifice to keep in my life, because it's that important. I don't ever want to get to a point that I'm comfortable and I don't value the things that I've been able to achieve, because it's, you know, things can change in a matter of minutes and seconds, man. It's a young woman my age that actually just passed away from cancer.
Wow.
This week, Natasha Sipp, that's an acquaintance of mine that I've knew through working in programming, that I had, you know, a great deal of respect for. And it just made it real, somebody my age passing away. And, you know, you see people older and things happening, but when it's your age and younger, man, it just resonates with you so much more.
Yeah, like even the day, like we lost a hip hop legend to cancer, Bushwick Bill.
Yes.
You know, that's especially like coming from like the South, like growing up, like I was forced to listen to like the Ghetto Boys and Uncle Luke and UGK and everything, but like, to lose a legend like that, and you know, we also lost, you know, Nipsey Hussle, you know, he's around my age, you know, close to my age, and just all these legends, and even just just people that just, you know, regular people, like I've learned, I lost, you know, people I went to school with and stuff. It kind of like sometimes reminds me that, you know, life is short, but at the same time, you know, you can't take nothing for granted, and you can't always complain to be comfortable. You always gotta like move forward in life. So it's just crazy.
Oh, absolutely, man. And Nipsey Hussle, you know, it's been so big, but those are the things that make it real, man. It's almost not real to something like that happening. And it just changed your view. So your relationship you have with people, the opportunities that's been there, man, you know, love hard and take full advantage of the opportunity that's in front of you. And help somebody else out. You know what, you know, my thing is, when I'm not here no more, what legacy have I left? What impact will still be here so I can live on? You know what I mean? Because I've made a difference. And with that, just treating people the right way, man, that go a long way. You know, the ability to help somebody else out that's less fortunate, because it may be you one day, or maybe a family member that needs that help. You never know what people are going through, honestly, man. You never know what people have been through
right.
to be in the state that you're in, man. And, you know, be thankful, you know what I'm saying? Because it could be you.
Right, yeah. So that's why, like, every day I just, you know, tell, like, you know, my mom, my wife, you know, my close friends and stuff, like, you know, I love y'all, you know, like, straight up, because you never know, you know, anything could happen. Before I let you go, where do you see yourself 5 to 10 years from now?
And that's an interesting question, man. You don't know how happy I was when I got this job. I thought it was everything, this end all be all. I had a friend from New Orleans that has helped me in so many ways, man. Etheridge Foster. He was a football teammate of mine. When my mother passed, you know, down in New Orleans, they celebrate death. They celebrate celebrate life and them going to a better place. So when my mother passed, it kept stuff in perspective for me. And when I got this job, you know, man, I'm happy, I'm this. And he's like, Will, this is not the end for you, man. You can go so much higher.
Right.
You know, you're in the Cadillac, you can go get the Tesseras, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Keep yourself in perspective. But honestly, you know, that was, you know, as soon as I got the job, that was the thought, man. I want to gain as much experience. I love where I'm at. But, you know, possibly collegiate. It's not a lot of minority on the collegiate level, on the administration side. That is something that I will consider, as well as now I have a passion. And I feel like I've been around so many great coaches and been around the game so much. I would love an opportunity, possibly a athletic director and head coach at a school, the ability to balance that. I love coaching. I love motivating young men, using the game of basketball to teach life lessons, win, lose, or draw. Man, and understanding, you know, that's something that, you know, before it's all said and done with me, I want to be a head coach of a program. I've been on the collegiate level in high school. It's more business-driven in collegiates. The high school is more personal and building relationships and influencing kids and the ability to help kids. So I would like to be a high school coach one day, and the ability to balance that. But next, I think, you know, possibly collegiately. You know, I think on the collegiate level, it's something that I can do and something that I would enjoy. I would still have that balance of working with people and athletes, as well as the administration side that I am coming to enjoy and value as well. I see that right now. But also with my stuff in the community, I had people speaking life into me and being mayor or possibly getting into things in the community, councilman, to the ability to affect the community and stuff like that, that I would consider. So, you know, I don't want to put a cap on anything. I think, you know, if something else comes up, I have to weigh my options and make sure it's the best thing for me and my family moving forward. But I also am thankful for the position I am in now, and I'm happy here, to be honest. I don't plan on going nowhere, but I'll be lying to say to you if the games presented themselves moving forward, that I would consider or make the best decision for me and my family.
That's what's up, man. And, like, you know, hopefully, you know, we could continue, like, to build a relationship, because that's what I want to do with everyone that's been on my show. Not just to come on the show and conversate and have an, you know, interview, but just, you know, build a network. And I really, you know, I'm grateful for you to come on the show and, you know, share your testimonies and your experiences and your advice, is because, you know, that's what the show is about. You know, I want to, not only the younger generation, but the people our age and even older. Some people out here that's, you know, they don't know what they want to do. You know, what their career or their second career, if they're lucky enough to retire around like their mid-30s. But, you know, I'm grateful to have you on the show, man. Like, you said a lot.
Absolutely, man. Once again, I'm thankful for the opportunity. I would love, you know, if you could share it with me. I'd love to share with family and friends, honestly. Get them, you know, help out however I can. If there's anything that I can post for you, man, you know, I'll definitely do that on my personal page and on my Dell program page and support. Once again, man, I love seeing people do good things, man. However I can help, I would love to stay in contact and help however I can. Thank you for the opportunity for reaching out, man.
Thank you for accepting my invitation. And you have any shout outs before we log out?
Outside of, you know, I ask any and everybody to go check out my nonprofit page, the Dell Program, support, follow. Other than that, man, I wish you well. You know, shout out to St. Vincent, St. Mary's for giving me the opportunity. My brother, my mentor, my blueprint, William McGee, Vice President of Oriental House, and his wife, Vicky McGee, that works at the I Promise, LeBron James, I Promise School, man. Thank you for pulling me out of what I came through to give me this opportunity. Shout out to my lady, Sarah Spigner, for the support that she has given me. Thank everybody that's invested in me.
And thank you for coming on the show, man. This has been DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast, with Willie D. McGee, and we out.